الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى favors his bondsmen, his servants, with innumerable bounties. And from amongst these innumerable bounties, a very great bounty is the tawfiq to engage in ta'aleem and ta'allum, in teaching and learning. Very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very great bounty. Imam Rabi'ah rahimahullahu ta'ala used to say that to solve one mas'ala, to solve one religious problem, if a person came with a question, to solve his question, to give him the correct answer, to find solution to his question, or whilst studying a muhaddith or a faqih or an alim, whilst studying he encounters a problem. Problem means he does not understand a particular issue. So he refers to this book, that book, he refers to the commentaries, he refers to various references, he contacts other ulama, other fuqaha, other muhaddithin, in trying to find solution to that question, the correct answer. So Imam Rabi'a rahimahullahu ta'ala used to say that to find a solution to one's academic, ilmi, religious problem, answer to a question, ilmi, academic, dini question, is better than performing 100 accepted hajj. So these students of Madrasa Riyadul Quran who are studying part-time, Jamia Riyazul Uloom who are studying full-time, Riyadus Salihat who are studying full-time, some adult ladies in Riyadus Salihat who are studying part-time, they are very, very fortunate. Very fortunate. And we, the teachers, we are also very fortunate. Because for as long as a person remains a teacher, he remains a student. A student in Arabic is called Talibul Ilm, the one who is in search of knowledge, the one who is seeking knowledge, searching knowledge. So a teacher, when he is given the responsibility of teaching Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Tafsir of the Quran, Fiqh, he prepares for that lecture. So when he is preparing for that lecture on a daily basis, he is seeking ilm. He is referring to so many other books. So the best thing that can happen to a graduate of a Darul Uloom after he graduates is he is given a responsibility to teach. Because now he will remain a student, a talibul ilm, until he continues to teach. So all of us are talibin ilm, the students and the teacher. We are all in search of knowledge. And it is a great honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe me. Believe me, scores of ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mention the virtues of those people engaged in learning and teaching the Quran and ulum and sciences associated to Quran. Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allamahu. Hadith of Bukhari Sharif narrated by Usman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the great sahabi, the great caliph. Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa 'allamahu. The best amongst you is he who learns the Qur'an and who teaches the Qur'an. So we have the Qur'an from Alhamd till Wannas. That is the Qur'an, the text of the Qur'an. Then we have the commentary of the Qur'an, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And then we have the ilm of Sharia deduced from the Quran and the ahadith. So anything that we study, whether it is in form of durusul fiqh, whether it is in form of seerah, whether it is in form of small textbook on Aqeedah in the FE classes in the evening or in the Maktab, whether it is in the form of Adab, etiquettes, it all leads to the ilm of Quran because everything is derived from there. So the Makatib, the part-time evening classes, Madaris, the Jamiat, full-time alim classes for male, for female, for adults, for young people. They are all engaged in learning and teaching the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa 'allamahu." The best amongst you is he who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. So why should our students of Madrasa Riyazul Quran not feel happy and proud that Alhamdulillah we belong to that group regarding whom our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from whose tongue wrong statement can never emanate, has said that you are the best of the people. Why should the ulama, why should the qurra, why should the muftis, why should the ulama, the huffaz feel? Inferior. When they see people of other categories. No, we should not. There is no need to. Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, Radina qismat al-jabbari feena lana ilmun walil juhali malu fa innal mala yafna an qareebin wa innal ilma baqin la yazalu. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is nothing better than acquiring this ilm. Ilm of nubuwa, ilm of Quran, ilm that has been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala li majma'in had understood the reality of the value of this ilm. Today we look down upon the huffaz, the ulama, those engaged in teaching and learning, those who run madaris. And people normally tend to feel this way, they are good for nothing. They are good for nothing. Time wasters. They waste their time and also the time and the resources of the ummah. There is a very large group of Muslims who feel this way. And they have been misled into thinking this way. It is because we do not understand in reality what the value of ilm is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew. It is for this reason he said that the best amongst you are those who learn the Quran and who teach the Quran. Ali radiallahu anhu knew. It is for this reason he is comparing wealth with ilm. And he is saying that radina qismat al jabbari feena lana ilmun walil juhali malu. We the people of ilm are happy with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has granted us ilm and no wealth. And he has granted wealthy people wealth but no ilm. We are happy with this distribution. We don't feel sorry for ourselves that why are we poor? Why has Allah granted us ilm and not wealth? No, we don't feel this way. We are happy. We are happy with this distribution of Allah. If Allah gave us the choice between ilm and wealth, we would still say to Allah that no Allah, we are happy with what you have given us. Hazrat Ali says, we are happy with this distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has granted a group wealth but not ilm. And he has granted us ilm but not wealth. And there is a big difference between the two. The rich people do not have ilm. The wealthy people do not have ilm. And the ulama do not have wealth. But the ulama have enough wealth to stay independent. So they do not have so much wealth, but Allah does not keep them in need of other people. They are able to sustain themselves. They have enough income to support themselves. So alhamdulillah, lot of ilm and enough wealth to look after themselves. Whereas the rich people, they have lot of wealth, but not enough ilm to look after themselves. Allah has made them needy of the ulama. They will remain in need of ulama all the time throughout their lives. Whereas majority of the ulama, all the ulama, if they are the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will never feel the need to stretch out their hand in front of somebody else, if they are the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people with ilm remain independent in this world, maybe with little wealth, but alhamdulillah. And as far as ilm is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them so much ilm that the whole world becomes needy of them. They refer to them, they ask them questions, they come and sit in their company. Even without any need, we may learn something new from this alim. When he speaks, everybody becomes quiet, everybody becomes attentive. What is Maulana saying? What is Sheikh saying? What is Hazrat saying? A wealthy person has to look after his wealth. And a person with ilm does not have to look after his ilm. Ilm looks after him. Wherever he goes, make space for Maulana. First, let Maulana take his seat. We are traveling, first the ulama in the car, make arrangement for them. When you spend wealth, it decreases. And ilm, when you spend ilm, it increases. My friends, whether you are young or you are old, whatever opportunity Allah grants you to acquire ilm, for Allah's sake, don't let go of that opportunity. Don't let anything brainwash you. I started studying at the age of 4 or 5, just like you. And I am 51 years old now. So I am talking to you with experience of 46 to 47 years, very long time. There is nothing more sweeter than ilm. I have visited many countries, and until now I have met and associated with dozens of people from various backgrounds. Rich people, poor people, healthy people, sick people, people in high position, professionals, so many backgrounds. Alhamdulillah, I do not define myself as an alim. I do not categorize myself as an alim. I am still in learning process. But whatever little, what the drop of ilm, that drop of ilm that Allah has granted me, I have never felt small in front of any individual. I have never felt small in front of any individual except the people of ilm. Yes, I have felt small in front of the people of ilm, people of taqwa. Any other profession, I have never felt small. Why? Because Allah has been kind to me and He has embedded this thought in my mind that this ni'mat of ilm that Allah has granted you, there is nothing better than that. So why should you feel small? So my dear students, never feel burdened by your attendance at the madrasa. Never feel burdened. Feel happy. Feel happy. Man kharaja fi talabi al-ilm fahuwa fi sabilillahi hatta yarjiya. One who leaves his home in quest for knowledge, he is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he returns. Fahuwa fi sabili. Allah's messenger is saying fi sabilillah. So when our young students leave their home at 4:30, 4:45 to come to the madrasa, and then they return home again at 7:30, 7:45, for 2.5-3 hours they are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Daily. And in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means you are continually being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are reading, you are rewarded. When you are listening to your classmate reading his lesson, you are being rewarded. When the teacher is speaking and when you are looking at him and listening to him, you are being rewarded. And when the whole class is quiet and the teacher is quiet because he is pondering over a particular masala for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, silence in the class, you are not doing anything, just waiting, you are being rewarded. Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman, one who treads the path seeking knowledge. Through this amal, Allah makes Jannat, the path of Jannat easy. سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ تَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Ilm. Ilm. We do not know what ilm is. That is our problem. Allah knows the value of ilm. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam knows the value of ilm. The Sahaba knew the value of ilm. The angels know the value of ilm. Because they know what ilm is. They can see the difference between ilm and wealth. It is for this reason, the malaika, وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَذَوْ أَجْنِهَتَهَا لِتَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِذَمْ بِمَا يَسْنَوْ. When the student leaves his home and walks towards the maktab, walks towards the madrasa, the malaika, they become so happy that they spread their wings. Malaika are invisible, so we cannot see them. But when we are coming to the madrasa, we are actually walking on the wings of the malaika. Why do the malaika become so humble in front of a 11-year-old, 9-year-old, 5-year-old, 7-year-old student who is going to the madrasa? Because they realize the importance of ilm. And because of the importance of ilm, this student has become important in their eyes. Even the other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they realize the importance of ilm. It is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the ants on the land and the fishes in the ocean make dua for the one who leaves his home and treads the path towards seeking ilm. Because they know how valuable this person has become because of his attachment with ilm, because of his association with ilm. And the ulama explaining this hadith have explained that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not only mentioning the ant and the fishes. By mentioning the ant, he is referring to all the creatures of the land. And by referring to the fish, he is referring to all the creatures of the sea. So the creatures of the land and the creatures of the fish, they all make dua for the talibul ilm. So this is the first point I would like to emphasize. Ilm, great ni'mat. And to acquire, being given the tawfiq to acquire this ilm, a very great ni'mat, very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always believe from the depth of my heart that the greatest favor conferred upon me by my parents is that they have taught me the value of this ilm. Greatest favor that they have conferred upon me. And they have put me on this path of ilm. May Allah elevate their status. Ilm. Once we realize the value of ilm, each one of us will have the desire and the zeal to acquire ilm. Those of you who are able to, because of their young age, alhamdulillah, try to acquire as much as possible. Try to remain in the maktab for as long as possible with your other commitments. If you are able to take enrollment full time, alhamdulillah. Even the parents should encourage their children to become ulama. Don't let this thought enter your mind that if my son becomes an alim, how will he survive? There are thousands of ulama who are surviving with a lot of honor, dignity. Just imagine that moment when your son graduates and he sits on a chair like this, in a masjid like this, and he talks about Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great moment for the father who is sitting in that gathering. Just yesterday I was mentioning in another jalsa, in another maktab, that after my graduation, when I used to phone home and I used to talk to my father and I used to tell him that I will not be coming home this weekend according to the plan, because I have been given a responsibility to talk about deen in a masjid where a jalsa is going to take place. So he used to ask me the details. And to my surprise, I used to find him there in the gathering. Sometimes Blackburn, sometimes Bolton, sometimes Sheffield. And I was young, 23, 24 years old, new graduate. So that my slot used to be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 10 minutes. In a conference lasting from morning till evening, great ulama used to come. My slot used to be 15, 20 minutes. And that used to be the only English bayan in those days. That used to be the only English bayan. But my father used to come for my bayan, not for the conference. I know. Because he had no plan of coming to that conference, but he would come. And despite knowing that I'm going to speak in English and he would not understand what his son is saying, he would sit right in front of the stage. And when I used to start the khutbah, he would begin to cry. Tears used to roll down on his cheeks. Out of happiness that my son is talking about Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My son is talking about Quran and Hadith. My son, who was until a few years ago playing in my lap, walking with me, holding my finger, now he is teaching me what Allah wants me to do. He is teaching me what his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants me to do. Imagine the satisfaction that my father must have felt at that moment. And the year he passed away, in Zulhijjah, after Ramadan, that Ramadan, I was spending in Bolton, and I was looking after a masjid near Bolton, in a small locality. And my father's friends, who later on became my very good friends, Haji Nasrullah Pathan, may Allah rest his soul peacefully in his grave, and our Suleiman Bhai Ali, you are all familiar with him, they both came to my father and they said that we would like the services of Salim in the month of Ramadan. So my father contacted me that these are very close friends of mine and I cannot say no to them, so try to make some arrangements. So I made some arrangement that okay, I will lead Taraweeh from Monday to Thursday, and after performing Salatul Jummah, I will head for Nuneaton and I will spend Friday evening, Saturday evening, Sunday evening here in Nuneaton, and I will return Monday again. And the Hafiz who was with me, I will tell him that somehow in your own half juz, quarter juz, three quarter juz, try to lead 20 rakah and I will make up for it, because he was not a very firm Hafiz. And this arrangement was made. Suleiman Bhai is my witness, he is sitting in this gathering. Every day, after breaking his fast, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I went for 3 weekends. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every day, in his old age, he was 73 years old. After breaking his fast here in Leicester, after Maghrib, he would travel to Nuneaton and perform Taraweeh there. Why? Because his son was going to speak after Taraweeh. So let us go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah we will try our utmost to make each and every individual the treasure house of this ilm. Treasure house, not only the children, ourselves also. Whatever we are, sit in the company of the ulama. Read books written by reliable, authentic ulama. The greatest problem of the ummah is lack of ilm, ignorance. Where there is ignorance, correct understanding of deen cannot come into existence. And where there is lack of understanding of deen, correct understanding of deen, how can the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come into existence in our lives? We ignore ilm. We continually ignore ilm. This is a tragedy of the ummah. It is a very big crime that we are committing. What is deen? Deen is ilm. Ilm, it is through ilm we understand what deen is. It is through ilm we are able to know what is fard, what is wajib, what is haram. It is through ilm we are able to know what to do, what not to do. How can our deen be complete if our knowledge is not complete? So do not become victims of inferiority complex, never. Feel proud, feel happy. Radina qismat al jabbare fina lana ilmun walil juhale malu. We are happy with this distribution. Ali radiallahu anhu says, great sahabi. Why? Fa innal mala yafna an qareebin. Because wealth will come to an end soon. Either wealth will leave us or we will leave wealth. Wa innal ilma baqin la yazalu. Ilm will remain forever and ever. Nothing will go in the grave. Doctor's medicine will not go in the grave. Engineer's engineering will not go in the grave. The ilm and the science of the professor will not go in the grave. The scientist's science will not go in the grave. Ilm of the alim will go in the grave. Ilm of the mufti will go in the grave. A doctor will remain a doctor until he breathes his last. In the hereafter, Dr. Ismail will be called Ismail only, not doctor. Because in the hereafter, medicine has no value. Medicine is no value. There is no need for medicine in the hereafter. Engineering has no value. There is no... Accounting has no value. There is no accounting in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant rewards without account. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And if the accountant was given the responsibility of working out the deeds of one person, he will not be able to do. It will be in millions and billions and trillions. But in the hereafter, Hafiz will be resurrected as Hafiz of the Quran. Hafiz Ismail will remain Hafiz Ismail. Maulana Ismail will remain Maulana Ismail. Mufti Ismail will remain Mufti Ismail. Qari Ismail will remain Qari Ismail. Forever and ever. Qari will remain Qari, Mufti will remain Mufti, Hafiz will remain Hafiz, Alim will remain Alim. Because this ilm belongs to Allah who is eternal, His ilm is eternal. So those people who acquire this ilm, their titles become eternal. So my young friends, feel happy. The parents, feel happy. Feel happy. My father never worried about our worldly needs. He never thought, he always used to say, my son, if you sincerely work hard and acquire ilm, and thereafter if you fulfill the rights of ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never leave you deprived. Allah will fulfill all your needs. Allah directly will fulfill your needs. So those of our students who are graduating today from here, please, do not think to yourself that our days of talib-e-ilmi, searching for knowledge, have finished. No, continue until you breathe your last. Remember the words of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, ma'al mihbarati ilal makhbarati. We will continue with this struggle until we go into the graveyard. If we see you engaged in ilm, it will bring us satisfaction, happiness. You will become a means of coolness to our eyes. And the pious predecessors, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi. I am not talking about the people of the time of Imam Abu Hanifa or Imam Shafi'i. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi. We are going 50, 60, 70 years ago. Most maybe 100 years when he was studying. In the final year of Alim class, the students study 8-9 very important books of Hadith. So Maulana Fakhruddin Sahib, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, who was at one time the Shaykhul Hadith of Darulum Deoband, he says that one day I was sitting in my room in the boarding when I was a student and studying Fathul Bari. Fathul Bari, the commentary of Bukhari Sharif. Voluminous book. He said, I was studying Fathul Bari and Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi passed by my room. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. What are you studying? Fathul Bari of Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi. How much do you study daily? So he said about 30 pages daily, 25 to 30 pages daily. Listen very carefully. Studying 8-9 books of ahadith, so many other responsibilities, despite that, only Fathul Bari he was studying 30 to 35 pages, 25 to 30 pages, with so many other commentaries to look at. This in itself is a great feat. This in itself is a challenge for the students of today. But what did Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi say? Only 25-30 pages per day. He said that the Fathul Bari that I had consisted of 13 volumes. It depends on who has published the book. Sometimes the same book could be in 20 volumes. But he said the one I had was in 13 volumes, 13 thick volumes. One volume approximately 800-700 pages. He said the book of Fathul Bari that I have, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah, said it was in 13 volumes. And during my studying days, whilst I was a student, I completed the whole of Fathul Bari in 20 days. Whole of Fathul Bari in 20 days. Fathul Bari in 20 days. And they were so engrossed in ilm that Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great alim, he says that when I come across a certain mas'ala which I am unable to solve, despite having so much ilm, I would not ignore that it doesn't really matter if I don't understand this. When we are reading a book, and if we understand everything, maybe one mas'ala we don't understand, we'll just skip it. He said, no, I do not skip. One mas'ala. If I am unable to solve that mas'ala, he says that I begin making istighfar in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am not being able to understand this ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of some sin of mine. And he says that sometimes I find myself making istighfar to understand that mas'ala more than 1,000 times. But I do not leave that mas'ala until I am able to understand. I continue doing istighfar until I am able to understand that mas'ala. So my dear students, ilm, very important. And the ulama who are graduating, who have graduated, never let this thought come in your mind that I am an alim. Always tell yourself that no, I am talibul ilm. I am talibul ilm. I am talibul ilm. And remember, you need to make sure that you preserve what you have acquired and you increase. Preserve what you have acquired and you need to increase. And in order to preserve what you have acquired, the foremost important thing you need to do is to practice. Any ilm that you wish to preserve, you need to practice. Allama Marsyad Kashmiri rahmatullahi alaihi used to say, hatafal ilmu bil amal. Ilm always calls amal. So if I know that performing 5 times salat is fard, then this ilm will call amal, that come, practice amal. I have ilm, but I want amal. If ilm is collaborated with amal, it remains wa illa irtahal. Otherwise, that ilm leaves the person. Ilm goes away. So the ilm that you have preserved, all of you, my madrasa Riyadul Quran students also, the ilm that you have preserved, acquired, preserve it through number one, amal, and number two, propagation, number three, by studying over and over again, Many of us who engage ourselves in dini khidmat, many of our brothers who go in da'wah and tabligh, they are engaged in dini khidmat. Those of us who are teaching in the madaris, we are engaged in dini khidmat. Those who write books, they are engaged in dini khidmat. We tend to think that this is sufficient for me. What I am doing 24 hours, that is not sufficient for us. Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, it is stated in his biography that Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala would daily, despite being a great alim, always engaged in teaching, learning, would engage daily after the Fajr Salat in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until 2.5 hours, 3 hours. And it is stated in his biography that he would not move from his place, he would remain in his place after the Fajr Salat daily. So somebody said, why is it that you give so much importance to these 2.5 hours? So he would say, this is my breakfast. And without breakfast, a person becomes weak. This is my breakfast, academic breakfast, dini breakfast, ruhani breakfast. And without breakfast, a person becomes weak. It is this zikr of Allah. It is this zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that keeps me going throughout the day. Allama Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he wrote 20,000 books with his own fingers. Out of the 20,000, 250 were his own books, which he compiled, which he authored. And in those days, books were not available in the market like it is today, so you had to copy. He had so much love for knowledge. Nowadays, we cannot, despite being wealthy, we cannot even make a library in our home of 1,000 books. 20,000 books he wrote with his own hand. And only the subject of hadith, the number of books that he had written in the subject of hadith, in those days, the pens they used to use were not ballpoint pen or ink pen. A piece of stick, make it sharp, and just dip that stick into the ink pot and then write. So every time, after every a few days, you had to sharpen the pen. And slowly, like miswak, one would go away, another one, second one would go away, a third one. So the chippings of his pens, with which he wrote ahadith and books of ahadith only, he had gathered that. And it became so much that he had an intention within his heart. He said at the time of death, that after my death, the water that you warm for my ghusl, use these chips only, which I have saved from the pens with which I have written ahadith. And these chips were enough. Imagine how much writing he must have done. And this is only one subject, hadith. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him with this effort? He himself says that 20,000 people have accepted Islam on my hands. And his biographers have recorded that sometimes in his dars, the number of students that used to present were 100,000 and over. So friends, let us go from here with this firm resolution that from today, inshallah, we will attach ourselves with ilm. Everybody make firm resolution, inshallah. Huh? We will have love for ilm. We will have mahabbah and love for ulama. We will have love, mahabbah, azma, ihtiram for the madaris. It is an international conspiracy. And we also become victim to this conspiracy that we are always targeting ulama, madaris. No. Madaris are the safe havens, my friends, safe havens. It is in these madaris that deen is safeguarded. If no madrasa, no ilm. If no ilm, no ma'rifat of Allah. No ma'rifat of Allah, no zikr of Allah. No zikr of Allah, qiyamah would come. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, in istatata fakun aliman. If you are able to, become an alim. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَتِي فَكُنْ مُتَعَلِّمًا. If you are unable to, then become a talibul ilm. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَتِي فَأَحْبِبُهُمْ. If you are unable to, then have love for the ulama and the students of deen, the madaris. And if you are unable to, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَتِي فَلَا تُبْغِزُهُمْ. Never entertain hatred for them in your hearts. Never hate ulama. Love ulama. Love ilm. Love the students. Love the people of ilm. Love the madaris. And become talibul ilm yourself. Become alim yourself. Then you will never be able to hate ulama. And be proud if your children are studying. Be proud if you are studying yourself. And practice what you learn. Practice what you learn. Propagate what you learn. Preserve the knowledge that you have acquired and make sure you pass it on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of our male students, our female students, accept the efforts of our teachers, male, female, both Riyadul Ulum, Riyadul Salihat, Riyadul Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our students, accept our asatida, accept the parents of these children. And accept all of you who are present here today. Accept all those people who assist and who have assisted and who will assist the Islamic Dawah Academy in the future. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve the Islamic Dawah Academy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve all the other institutes and the masajid and the marakis that exist in Leicester, in Midlands, in the UK, throughout the world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them complete safety and afiyat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them thriving until the day of Qiyamah. And keep them the beacon of light for generations to come until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice this ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to propagate it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all barakat in ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with the ulama, with the people of ilm. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us place in Jannah with ulama and with the people of ilm. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa la aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi. سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما يا عليم علمنا ما لم نكن نعلم يا عليم يا معلم آدم وإبراهيم علمنا يا معلم آدم وإبراهيم علمنا يا معلم آدم وإبراهيم علمنا اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولأهلينا ولأقاربنا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك. واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.